You're listening to Humanitarian Radio with your hosts, Tony St. Tone and Janie Beauclair.
Good afternoon. It's a great day in sunny California on Humanitarian Radio. Hope you're having an awesome day wherever you might be around the world. I am Janie Beauclair, and I am here with...
St. Tone.
Hey, Tony. How are you today?
I'm doing great, and actually, it's a great day everywhere.
It is. It is, indeed. Sun is shining for us here, so I'm always delighted to see the sun shining.
Mm-hmm. Sunshine State.
No, that's Florida.
I know it's Florida, but you know what? That should be the sunshine slash rainy
state. How about Sunshine World?
Okay.
All righty. So if you're new to the station, this station is Humanitarian Radio, and what we do is we focus on really great and positive things that are going on in the world, whether it's events that are taking place around the country or anywhere on the globe, but also people, normal, everyday people who are going out on a limb to do really great things for us humans here and making our world a better place. So we have a great guest today. She is an author and a spiritual author and has quite a story to tell. And so that's really awesome. We're happy to share her with you. And, Tony, you were talking earlier about some cool things that are going on in the world, and I think you should share them with our listeners and friends here.
Well, I was on the Internet, and I found a website called Global Good News, and I thought that was so awesome, the fact that they
just
have that.
The name alone inspires you to go check out and see what it is.
Yeah, it's good news from around the world.
And our tagline is good news for your soul, shouting out some good news for your soul.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it was a great tie-in. So as I looked at this, what they do is they highlight all these things that are going on around the world that are all positive, or that have either they're connected to business, or they have something to do with solar energy, or how people are doing different things. So I just jotted down a couple of topics that I thought were really interesting. One is Legoland.
I was just going to say, you said something about Legoland and Disney. And Legoland, if those of you who don't know, the Lego toys that were created years and years ago for kids to play with have been created into amusement parks, if you will. There's a couple of them around the country.
You're right, right.
And
but this is the first theme park. What they did is on Earth Day, they were the first theme park to be 100% run by solar energy.
How cool is that? Because you know how much energy a theme park must take.
Well, they said it was like taking three cars off of the highways for a year.
That's three cars off the highway for a year.
Yeah.
Wow.
One day, or planting 150 acres of trees.
Wow.
So they said after Earth Day, what they did is they took one section, and they're going to be powering that from here on out.
Yeah, and it was the imagination section.
Yes.
How appropriate.
Yeah, the imagination section. So I thought what was so cool is that you can see the power of this going, this is what you can do with one theme park in one day.
Yeah.
Powering itself.
By the sun.
By the sun, 100% by the sun.
That
and a place
so
like
amazing.
Florida is amazing. Now, California has a lot of solar energy also, obviously. And they're saying that places like Massachusetts and New England also are very great candidates for this. But, you know, the more we tap into this type of technology, the better off we're going to be.
Absolutely, all the way around. Not only are you saving money, hard-earned money, but you're saving, you know, the planet.
Exactly.
You're not wasting resources that you've had to be wasting before. I mean, think about when all that could make heat and energy was fire by cutting down trees.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Then we shift into coal, and then we shift into phosphate, and we shift into all these different things. Now we're shifting into the sun.
Well, you're saying that, and I'm going to bring us right into the next topic that I read.
Okay.
And you can read all these again at www.globalgoodnews.com. This was real exciting for me. In 2017, British Airways is actually going to start flying from London to JFK on trash. They found a way. I know it sounds crazy, but they found a way.
Want to fly on trash.
Well, if they found a way. They teamed up with a company in Washington, D.C.
Okay.
And where they can take 50 metric tons of trash
garbage
and turn it into jet fuel.
How awesome is that?
Right.
That is
so
awesome.
Now we're not destroying the planet anymore. We're actually taking that and turning it into fuel. So instead of having all these wastelands, we're actually taking that and fueling our engines for flights. That to me is like, wow.
That's pretty amazing.
We've got a chance, people.
Yeah. Well, look how many dumps there are just in the United States. How much garbage.
Well, imagine taking all that garbage and now recycling it, taking that garbage
because
and making
don't
fuel.
Don't they by the Statue of Liberty, don't they grab all the garbage off of New York City and don't they go out to the ocean and dump it?
From what I understand, yes, they do.
Because I've heard that like over the years many times.
They take large barges from trash from New York City and go
way out
into the ocean.
But then they're surprised when garbage is coming back up on the beach in California that's coming from, you know, oceans down under, if you will.
Right. Well, they're also talking about doing the same thing where they wanted to shoot the garbage into space.
Yeah.
And then
what
you'd
is
have
up
space
with that
trash.
Idea?
Well, it's like, well, it's way out there. It's not going to do
anything. How about let's turn it into fuel?
Yeah. Well, think about it. If you were to throw it into space, which they had talked about, unfortunately, eventually it's going to come back down to Earth.
Got to land somewhere. Yeah.
Or it comes back down to Earth because there's...
Can you imagine you're driving down the road in your car and a milk jug hits your window because it fell out of the sky?
It wouldn't work that way. Unfortunately, it wouldn't work that way. But, I mean, there are satellites that are out there that have been abandoned that we put up there in the 70s.
Right.
And they're saying, you know...
they're still hanging.
Now they're still hanging and they're coming closer. And what happens is when they get pulled into the Earth's atmosphere, hopefully they'll all burn out before they actually hit.
So, yeah, hopefully. So
right.
You
so
hope
a milk
that
jug would never make it all the way down.
You would hope, but how do you know? We haven't thrown garbage out there yet.
That's true.
Let's hope we don't, ever.
That's true. So
that's really cool that they're using it. So they're melting it down and using fumes and blah, blah, blah. I can't even imagine. But just think about how just it only took normal, everyday people to figure out how to do this.
Yeah.
That's very encouraging for us in the humanitarian mental state that want to see changes happen in the world to make the world a better place for our children and grandchildren and our family lines. It's very encouraging when you see people inventing some cool stuff and making these big steps to do something really awesome.
Well, in talking about fuel, they just had another report, and this is Business Korea reported that they now have a battery for vehicles, for cars, that will charge 1,000 times faster than the current battery and is going to be able to hold their charge longer than a lithium battery. So lithium batteries blow away old batteries.
Right,
right. And now this new technology that they found that they put together in Korea charges 1,000 times faster and holds their charger that much longer. So,
which is great, especially in these electric cars.
Well, there you go. So now an electric car, you're going to a fuel pump and you can just charge it as opposed to like, well, you got to let it sit for 24 hours or plug it in at night.
Right. I remember our golf carts we used to have as a family, we had several of them on our dealership, and I remember that we had to charge them like 4 hours once it was dead before you can mess with it again.
Right.
And we'd get impatient, and after like 2 hours, we'd hop on it and ride around a little bit, but then you'd be dead in minutes again.
Okay, so that was 4 hours, right?
Yeah.
So now imagine that 1,000
times
faster.
Right, right. That's
very
cool.
So now you can actually do it, because, you know, they're going to start eventually putting up these gas pumps, or electric pumps, if you will, not gas pumps.
Well, there are some stations out here in California, electric charging stations on the side of the highway, which I think is brilliant.
And you'll start seeing them more because I think as we start adapting more towards electric cars and stuff, let's face it, people, the price of gas is not going down to 99 cents ever again.
$4.29 is what it was here in California last week.
So everyone's trying to think smarter as opposed to like, well, you know, how much money does it take to fill my tank? It used to cost like $10. Now it's like $80, $90 to fill your tank. You're like, this is ridiculous.
Yep,
I can't believe it.
It's time to make
some cars,
chips.
You know, they're getting cars now that go to 50 miles to the gallon, you know, 45 miles to the gallon.
Yep,
so we're all thinking
102
smarter.
I saw on a Ford Fusion or Ford Focus or one of those. I saw on a billboard yesterday.
Right, which is insane.
Brilliant, though. It's awesome. So, yay for technology supporting humanity. That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, so if you want to read, again, more good news, check out globalgoodnews.com. We're going to be right back with Tanya Jobson. I think you guys should stay tuned. It's an excellent interview.
Absolutely.
This woman has so much great knowledge to share with us. So stay tuned. We'll see you in a minute.
Hey, this is Janie from Artistic Journey. Start off your new year with a new marketing strategy. Whether it's for your company or your personal goals, push Let Artistic Journey help you find the unique way to show off your endeavor. With over 20 years of marketing experience in big corporations and homegrown businesses and everything in between, Artistic Journey can help you pave a new product path or an event marketing path. Check out ArtisticJourney.com. See the wide array of marketing merchandise available for you to put your logo on for your next big event, your personal party, or your big corporation marketing push. Get into the swing of 2014 and get your business in motion with an artistic promotion.
I'm living here in a state of abundance. I'm counting blessings that I never saw before. Cause I'm the ruler of this kingdom I call me.
Positive affirmation, wrapped in pop rock song.
Give me that best case scenario.
It's motivational musician, check out his latest live show, The Rise Up Experience, at www.fainttone.com.
Mama said we can always hug it out.
Pick up his latest CD, Outside the Box, available on iTunes. For music with a positive message, check out sainttone.com.
Okay, so we are back here with Tanya. We are so excited to have her on our show today. Tanya is an author, as I said earlier, of a variety of books, all to do with positive thought, positive living, positive lifestyle, positive, positive, positive. Welcome, Tanya, to the show. How are you today?
Thank you. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
We're doing actually really good, so I want to jump right into this. Tell me, how long have you been an author?
Actually, I've been an author all my life, but I haven't been an active author all my life. So I knew at a very young age that that's what I wanted to do, that I followed the advice of other people in my life, went off track, and then reclaimed myself later in life and have been an author for the past 5 years solid as an author.
You know, I got a comment on that where you said that you followed everyone else's advice and got off track as opposed to got on track. And I think so many of us do that because obviously other people around us are trying to do good by us, but they're living your life through their eyes saying, well, you really should do this and you really should do that. And I can really relate to that that comment there because
we've both strayed off the normal track.
I'm a graphic designer by trade because my parents are like, you should go to an art college if you like to draw.
Uh-huh.
But I really wanted to be a musician. And so
right.
I did my 4 years of college and I got my job as a graphic designer. And then as soon as I could, I left my hometown of Connecticut and I moved to Tampa, Florida, and I became a full-time musician. So you know, it's following your own passion and following what your calling is. So is that what drove you to do what you're doing then, right?
Right. And actually, you know, I say that, but I don't say that in a derogatory way because the fact that I did take that journey of other people's advice, specifically my father, he gave me two options. I was heading for journalism school in Dublin, Ireland, because the priest had got me a space there. And my father had the family move back to England, and so I couldn't go to journalism school, so he gave me two options. You can be a policewoman or a chef, because he said that people will always get in trouble and they always need to eat. And so I did. I was the chef. I went to college, became a chef. I was the executive chef of Sarasota Memorial Hospital here in Sarasota, Florida, which is a huge hospital. And while I was in England, I worked for Princess Anne and royalty on functions for royalty.
Wow.
And I joined the Metropolitan Police in London, became a cadet, and after 2 weeks I said, this is not me, and I got out of there. So I did do the thing, but because I did that, right now in my life I'm in a position where I can help other people to live the life that they want to live. How do you live your authentic self, and what do you do to achieve that? And that's where my path in life has led me to this day. And so a lot of it is through the words that I put together in the book, for people to know themselves, to be empowered by that inner essence, the authentic you, and how do you get that to come out so that you are who you want to be in the world, and you're living your story and not somebody else's version of your story.
And I think it's true that also for you, having done what you did, you can speak through experience, and I think that's the strongest thing when you can tell people, look, I've been in your shoes, or I've been there, so I can tell you with confidence that when you're not following your own path,
it shows.
It shows, and you can see that you're not being authentic to yourself. So, and there's so many people in the world that I find and I come across that would love to be doing something other than they currently are doing, and they're just so afraid to, because they're like, well, what if I fail? And I go, well, what if you succeed?
I think a lot of it is not to do with so much the fear of doing it, but I think the overload of information coming at the person comes from the collective consciousness of humanity itself. And we are bombarded all the time with it onto our energetic field of all this information. So we never step into ourselves enough, because we have all this stuff coming at us, to even know, who am I? What is it that I want? Because with the confidence of being who you are in relation to your higher self and your own spirituality, there is a confidence born of that inner self and that connection that overrides the fear, and you will go and attain what it is that is your authentic path in life. As we are bombarded by everything in the collective matrix coming at us all the time, that's where we are so confused. We are just nothing else. Sometimes a bunch of confusion, like, oh my God, which way do I go now? Who am I following now?
Right.
What is it I need now, you know?
Right, right.
Do you feel, you know, in your studies and what you've learned over the years, do you feel that it's getting more and more intense as far as, if you were a young adult today, as opposed to 20 years ago, with the internet, commercials, do you feel like there are so many more distractions, so it's that much harder to even
find your path?
Find your own path, because there are so many infomercials, if you will, constantly coming at you going, do this, do that, try this, try that, that you're like, wow, I don't even, like, I feel like everyone has ADD these days. It's like they all want the instant gratification, and they have the remote control on life. Let's go here. Let's go there. Let's do something. You're like, wait a minute. How about just
take a breath?
Stop for a second. Talk with someone.
Well,
person.
Right. No, I do see what you're saying. Here's how I see it for young people today. I feel that because we have evolved as a humanity over, you know, the last 50 years, we've risen in our vibrational quality, and the children that are being born today are born at the vibration that we are now. So they have skipped over some of the negative qualities and the heavy racism and the killing of people because they're, you know, they don't breathe the same you do. They have skipped that and come in. And I feel that there's a lot of children, if you really listen to them, they seem to know why they are here. Now, where they don't connect with what's going on in what I call beta reality, the everyday life, where they don't connect, there's a lot of beta reality is not relevant to them. So they don't connect with that, the essence of what's going on in actual reality. So it appears like maybe they have an ADHD symptoms and they don't want to be involved, but some children know exactly what it is they're here to do, exactly what it is that is needed for that journey, and the rest is insignificant to them, and they don't want to participate in it. So I feel that you have these different dimensions of life going on, and we're labeling things that we don't really understand. And we're trying to box things in instead of saying, let's see how it unfolds. Let's go with this. You know, where children are coming in a particular way.
Now, do you feel like that has to do with indigo children and crystal children?
Absolutely.
Okay. Can you give a brief description of that for our listeners? Because I'm aware of it, and I'm vaguely familiar with it, but if you can give us a little more in-depth on the difference between the two.
Well, part of my background was in childcare. I was a childcare provider for over 13 years.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
I had a break in the middle. Right in the middle of that 13 years, I had a seven-year break. So the first time around when I was in childcare, when I do something, I do it well. So I earned the gold seal of excellence from Florida's Children and Family Services for childcare. I became an accredited, nationally accredited childcare provider. And I worked with the children, and I followed all the child development courses that they could give you. Well, then I had the seven-year break, which was really a spiritual growth for me. It was a huge awakening and a huge opening. I was sometimes meditating 5-6 hours a day for years on end. And then I went back into childcare, and I went back into childcare with seeing that the children I was spending my days with were now achieving things at a much faster rate than 10 years before when
sure.
I was in childcare.
Right, right.
You learn that there's developmental levels of children, and I was like, well, wait a minute, this doesn't fit anymore. The story's not the same. These children are developing a whole lot faster.
Yeah.
And then when I started to work mind to mind, I was very much into telepathy, and when I started to transfer messages mind to mind to infants, and I'm talking 6 months of age. It was like a rapport, and they got it. They understood, and I had some of the calmest children, in situations where they should be crying or upset because I hadn't got to them straight away. But I transferred the energy that, yes, I'll be right with you.
So I
believe the energy fields, and we're opening, and we're connecting them, and we're communicating without having to use the only physical forms of communication we were taught. I believe that now we have the spiritual communication of transference and energy, connecting energetically with others that is growing in humanity right now.
Absolutely.
Now, would you say that is something that the children that are, let's say, currently born and up to 10 years old, or someone who's 15 years old? I mean, do you see that as a certain age bracket, as these are crystal children as opposed to indigo children? Do you know what I'm asking? Like, are you sensing that with a 15 to 20-year-old, or are you sensing it for younger kids?
I'm saying that we're probably talking 15 years ago. 15 years ago is when I noticed the big shift in the ability of children.
Okay. So you are saying 15 years ago, so that's where this shift is starting to take place. So possibly kids older than that might have been the
pre-shift.
Well, the pre-shift,
pre-shift,
which is indigo children as opposed to crystal children. And for the listeners that don't understand, it's just there's certain labels on different generations of kids that are being born, and some of them are considered very special, and they have a purpose coming into this world, that they have a mission, as you had said earlier, and something to do. So they know exactly what they need to do here and why they're here. And so some of them don't want to be bothered with, I don't need to study math, or I don't need to study history, because that's not what I'm here to do.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
So to your books now, let's talk a little bit about your books and how you've come about. You said, how many books have you written?
9 at this point.
9 books. Wow, that is awesome.
9, yeah.
Congratulations. I wanted to also congratulate you on your success as a child caregiver and working with the children. I mean, you rattled off what you had done prior to your 7-year break there, but we didn't applaud you for what you had received. And I've been thinking about that ever since you said it, that, you know, so many people give as little as possible in their job, and for you to receive accolades at that level for what you're doing is just absolutely brilliant, and I just wanted to congratulate you for the work that you've done with children all these years. I think it's just really, really needed, really awesome, and I'm delighted to hear that somebody has recognized you for the great things you've done.
Thank you.
So now you're
my books are, I'll go a little bit on the books. The first book is Higher Vibrational Parenting. And because I worked in the field for so long, I saw that we were imprinting our children with a lot of limiting behaviors, and that we were giving our children boundaries, and we were imposing our emotional baggage on them. And so I wrote Higher Vibrational Parenting as a way for parents to just look at, at what you're doing, and that your child picks up who you are. Your child will reflect to you what you have to change within yourself, or what you don't have to do anything. I should scrap that. You don't have to do anything, but your child reflects to you your vibration to the world. So if there is anything that is stopping you from moving forward or releasing a limit or a boundary that, or a program that you have taken on, your child will reflect that to you. And so to have a parent look at the whole parenting game as in a totally different view is why I wrote that book. I wanted them to see that they are an empowered, energetic presence, and their children are sponges absorbing the whole thing that they give them until age 5, when they start sponging off of their peers. And so that, to me, that book is a very empowering book, because it really is a look at parenting from a totally different perspective than I think is already out there.
Right. And, you know, I find, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel that pets and animals do the same thing, where they pick up, they're so sensitive to your vibrations. If you've ever watched The Dog Whisperer, Cesar Millan, he constantly says, he's like, if you're hyper, your dog's going to be hyper, and that's the reason why. He's like, I try to condition the trainer, the owners, to relax their energy, and then the animals relax their energy. So, you know, the animal's just picking up all these different energies that are going on around them. So your children are doing the same. If you're stressed out all the time, then the kid's stressed, and now it's just this constant vicious circle. So it's approaching the child calmly. Is that correct?
Absolutely. And you know, and it is so amazing sometimes how we look at the child and say they're doing something wrong, instead of stopping and seeing, look at that and say, that's the reflection of me out there in that world. That's a reflection of me. What is it I need to change? Because it's not how you can't blame the child for what you're seeing out there, but you can look within yourself and say, how did that occur? How did I create that?
Right. And a child is only a sponge at that moment, so it's like, well, it doesn't know any better. It's only taking in what it's receiving. So that's excellent. So that is a great topic and a great spin on parenting just in itself.
Right.
I'm sure that has changed a lot of lives just in knowing that without even reading the book, but just having you explain that can be enough of a trigger to have someone stop and go, wow, I should really stop and look at what I'm doing every time with my child. So if there's anyone out there who has a child that's under the age of 5 and that you're a parent, that should be something that you should think about. Also, buy the book, because you'll get that much more out of it. So let's talk about your next book. What's the other books that you had?
I have Know Your Child's Energy Body, which is got a lot of there's a lot of research coming out now, because I believe in the last 50 years, the subject of energetic vibrations and frequency and the field of human existence has grown a lot. And so I found a research that actually explained how a child's energy field is more open than an adult, and what occurs to the energy field of a child as they grow over time. And so I put the entire research into that book and put a lot of my own spin on that specific research so that people will really get a good grasp of the child's energy field when they have this newborn start in their life, the journey, what will happen to the child field, and how you can stop it from shrinking and becoming smaller, as what happens to most people in life.
I was going to ask that question, so I'm glad that you touched on that topic. So you do present ideas on how to lessen that shrinkage, if you will, because obviously we all become jaded as we get older. You look
right.
at a child and they're so innocent and they're dreamers and they believe that they can do anything, and then
until about 10,
you know, they start yeah, as they get older, society keeps saying, well, you have to grow up and you can't do that anymore, and
peer pressure,
you're not allowed to think that way, and you can't just be a dreamer, you have to be a realist. And it's like, well, why do you need to?
Doesn't that feel like heavy? Like, oh, my God.
Yeah, of course.
It's draining.
It's draining. And let me just tell you, coming from a dreamer's perspective, society can be very rough on artists and dreamers and people that want to explore the glasses half full, because they're like, well, that's not reality. I go, well, you get what you focus on. So
it's,
do you
your
watch
reality.
The 6 o'clock news every night and go, look at all the fires and the robberies and the accidents out there? Or do you put on...
nice positive music.
Positive music or the Home and Garden channel, where you're watching someone do something
lovely
and more enlightening, as opposed to watching the
news
and saying, well, I need to be informed. Well, I don't really need to know that there was an accident in Ohio today. I'm living in California.
Yeah.
I'm sure there was, but it doesn't directly affect me unless I make it affect me. So,
it's not actually, nothing is ever in your reality unless you put your attention on it.
Exactly.
You
know?
Yeah.
There's nothing there unless you put your attention on it. So what are you fueling with your energy? Are you fueling peace or are you fueling war? Which one are you going for? And this is why I find it strange where people are, and this, I think, Mother Teresa said this, if you're having a pro-peace rally, I'll be there. But if you're having an anti-war rally, I'm not attending.
Yes.
And it's the same thing where people are anti-everything. The reason you will never overcome anything by being anti its presence is the fact that being anti anything, you have created an energy wave right to it, whatever it is.
Yes.
So if you're anti war, guess what? You may as well you've added to war. There's
right.
no way to be anti anything, because now you're embracing it. You're
yeah.
embracing it in an anti way.
You just
and
put
so
that
you
much.
Have to stop that completely and become for peace.
Yeah,
if
you just
attempt,
put that much
okay?
more. You put that much more weight on it by putting that label on it and causing it to have more of your attention by protesting
right.
it.
And you're doing it in an intent. I guess which adds even more fuel to the fire is you're doing it with a lot of intense emotion.
Right.
So you're putting an intense emotion behind it, which is just fueling it, which is putting even more fuel on the fire, as opposed to like dousing
right.
it out. So anything done with that much more emotion behind it is obviously going to flare up even more. You're like, well, why does this keep happening? I keep trying to fight
this. Because
the
universe is paying attention
yeah.
to what you're saying.
Yeah. Right. One of my other books is called Higher Vibrational Spirituality. That book actually is, I hate to say I have a favorite book, but that is my favorite.
That's okay. You can have a favorite.
I can. No, I should say no, my favorite. No, it is my favorite because as I was writing it, I don't know if you know, when you're writing a book, you get to a point and then you read it and you read it and you read it. And then this particular book, I said, oh, this needs something. And I said to Spirit, give me what is missing. And then it's like a flood of information came through and the book was complete with this one final lot of information, which is actually now the basis for your Raise Your Vibration course that I teach. I've been teaching it locally, but I'm now moving it to an inversional environment because it is a five-step process how to raise your vibration, and also goes into the layers of who we are as a human energy presence, all the way through the veil of our perception of reality out to our I Am presence. And I explain in detail the five steps to attain unity with all in your reality. So how to develop your awareness so you step out of being sucked into beta reality and you step back into more of your observer state and become awareness of life itself, which brings you into a point where you can actually clear dense energy from within your energy field.
Mm-hmm.
Once you do that, you are in the throes of transforming your life. You cannot go straight and say, hey, I'm going to transform my life, because you have to alter the vibration within you before reality alters outside of you. You can't look out there and say you want that to change, because it has to come from within. So
right.
I take people through that.
And you have to take... You have to take the time to go through that vibrational journey, if you will. You know, you have to let that transaction happen in order to get to the other side, you know, to get to the next phase. It's like not something you can just jump over and skip over. You have to allow it.
Absolutely. And also, people, you know, there's something about transformation and the falling away of the old before the manifestation of the new, that sometimes it's almost like being in a minefield at that point. And a lot of people can't handle the falling away of the old in order to extend the new vibration. Because what's in your reality now, the entire lot, look at everything around you, your friends, your furniture, your animals, your job, it's all on this vibrational level that you exist on right now. You want something else? Guess what? Something in this existence is going to be shifting. And can you handle it? Are you prepared for that? If it happens to be some of your friends or your job, in order for you to get what it is that you really want in life,
right,
are you prepared to let things go? And that's a lot of people. They think they can grab the whole lot and hold on real tight and that they'll get more. Well, your basket's already full.
Right.
Everything you have. Can you release something and then stay in that place of expectant and get and wait for the new? Do you have that in you to do that? You know? And so a lot of people don't get more in life because they're not prepared to give up or release or let go what they have right now.
And I think that has a lot to do with Tony's statement earlier about people being so ADD, if you will. Because everybody wants the quick fix and the quick release and the quick transition and the quick everything, that they don't give themselves the time to process the changes that they're looking for in their life.
But also, I think what she's saying is if you're trying to climb a ladder of success, you have to let go of the rail to reach for the next one. And most people don't want to let go of the rail to get to the next one, or you have to open up space in your closet for more clothes to come in. You can't have all those clothes and expect more clothes to come in. There's no place to put it. I remember hearing this woman speak about she was looking for a partner or a husband, and someone had told her, well, where do you park in the garage right now? And she's like, well, I park right in the middle. Why? And she's like, well, you know, you need to start parking to the left or to the right. And what about your closet? You need to start making space for your new partner to come in.
Other person, yeah.
And she never thought of that, so she started parking to the left, and she made room in her closet, and within a matter of 2 months, she found someone that she eventually married, because she prepared herself as if, well, it's coming, so I have to fake it till you make it. You need to just be ready.
Put your mind there.
Put your mind there, put your body there, and create your reality in that sense.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Also in the book, there's I talk a lot about the fact that most of the time we think that our mind is the lead for our life. And just because the mind has this, throws out these thoughts all the time and circulates these thoughts and grabs them from the etheric, and then suddenly they appear in our periphery here, in our perception, there is a space within everyone that is behind the mind. And once you understand and attain oneness with that, you see the mind for what it is. Mind is merely a tool to use to have those empowered thoughts in your reality and to shift and move what is not empowering for your life. You are not the mind. The mind is merely a tool to use while you're in Earth. The essence of you lives eternally and lives beyond what we experience right now. And so that book takes people really into understanding the layers of the self, so that we can, as a physical being, also unify with the I Am presence that is one with God. And so that book just closes the gap on the whole lot.
That was very well said. That was a really great explanation, I have to say. Very well said.
So that's all in the book. And what's the title of that book again?
That one is Higher Vibrational Spirituality.
Excellent. Okay. Excellent. And that is your third book. So tell us a couple of more books that you have out there, because obviously...
No, that one is my favorite. Higher Vibrational Spirituality is my favorite. I have Higher Vibrational Life Reflections. This is 365 empowering messages, one for each day of the year. On the book, it's 365 expressions of pure divine potential, which mirror the loving, creative spirit we truly are.
You know, everybody should have a book of that nature that they can thumb through on a daily basis and get some inspiration, you know? You know, whether you are someone who stays at home and takes care of children, or you are out there in the work world, or you're retired, or you're just a kid going to school, whatever it is, there is always room for a fresh one-liner or two-liner to make you stop and think and shift whatever is about to happen or happening for your day. So I'm a firm believer in having inspirational
quotes.
Just thoughts on a daily basis.
But I have to say, these are not one line. They're whole pages.
Yeah.
Oh,
right.
Well, even better.
Even better.
A whole page. Yeah. And I'm actually surprised that when I sat down to write this book, that in such a short period of time, this amount of content and this quality content actually came out. You know. So I was very, very, very
spirit,
pleased.
Spirit meant for you to share it with us. You know, spirit was on you and said, "Hey, sister, share these words, would you?"
Yeah.
I think it's excellent that, you know, I think it's really great that you took time while you're on your leave, if you will, and that you were meditating 4 to 5 hours a day. Now, a lot of people think that meditation is something that you just sit in a corner and you hum, or you, you know, sit Indian style and have to look look at a candle or something. But meditation is something that could be as simple as quieting the mind and having a cup of coffee in the morning, or playing with your pet, where it's relaxing the mind and not letting it drift into all these talking and jibber jabber that you might have going on. Do you feel like that helped you tremendously as far as connecting with spirit and being able to start writing these books the way you are?
Absolutely. I take time every single morning to, and I have now started to do it with a journal. I take time to sit. If something comes out in the journal pages, then it comes out. If nothing comes out, I'm sitting with spirit. And
right.
I find it a divine, it's a very divine space that I'm allowing myself to have with the inner essence of who I am, and so that whatever wants to come forth from spirit, it has the space to do so. I'm not going to put on the TV, I'm not going to move, I'm not going to do anything, I'm yours. I'm surrendering at that point, I'm yours.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I get And that's why I get a lot of profound wisdom come through at that time of the day. And if nothing comes through, I'm grateful. I'm grateful that I could even do that. But there was a time in my life when I was working two jobs and had three small children and was running around all the time, and I did not do that. And I really cherish the time that I give to myself and to spirit. And in doing so, I'm giving to all of humanity too.
How would you, let me ask you this question. If you could go back in time and while you were working two jobs and raising children and all that, what would you tell someone that is in that position right now? How
the meditation could change.
How the meditation, it could change
schedule.
Them, but also how quickly or how they can adapt meditation into their schedule. Because a lot of times people are saying, I just don't have the time. I don't have the time to actually sit for 5 minutes. I wish I did. And, you know, what would you say to them as far as, like, you know, if you were to give yourself that 5 minutes or right before you get in the car or maybe while you're sitting in traffic, is there a way that you could help someone
get started at least?
Get started at least, yeah. You know, if they don't have 4 or 5 hours, but if they have 5 minutes, you know, and how that 5 minutes could at least help in some way.
I fully believe that you can create the time if you really want to. And I said to myself, when I look back at those days when I was running like a chicken with my head cut off, I look back now and I say, I should have made time, and I could have made time. There is always 5 minutes that you can give to yourself. And when we honor ourselves and love ourselves enough, we will make the time. You know, but when we're dragged into the reality and we're still trying to impress everybody around us, then that's when we're running. That's when we're doing for others to look good, to achieve, to get the latest pair of shoes, to say my kids are in all, 5 different activities a week, and so my kids are better than yours, or, you know, whatever
right.
it is.
Keeping up with the Joneses. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we do. But if you love yourself enough, you can sit for 5 minutes. And when I started to meditate, my 3 boys were, I think the youngest was probably 8 by then, but they started to sit too, because I made time for me. It was a time in my life when I was like, I need to do this for me.
Right.
You know? If my kids have to wait 5 minutes for their hot dogs and macaroni and cheese, then they're going to wait. I need to do it for me.
And what an awesome thing to show them.
Right, up until that point, I had never given anything to myself. I was everybody else's. I belonged to everybody else.
Exactly. You know, and I think the fact that you took the time to do it and you proved to yourself and to your kids, it's like, listen, I need my own space and my own time. And I think when you finally, it's almost like it's an allowing, like without feeling guilty going, oh, my kids are hungry and they need to eat. It's like they can wait 5 minutes.
But it's also leading by example as
and
well.
Also being gentle with yourself, saying, I can sit for 5 minutes in quiet. And though there's 1,000 things that you should and could do, really putting that meditation or putting yourself forward and saying, no, this is actually more important than doing laundry, doing
yeah.
the dishes, watching that TV show, whatever it might be, or, you know, whatever society throws at us, like you said, keeping up with the Joneses.
Right.
It's that 5 minutes that can really, really change your perspective. And I do believe also, like you said earlier, that you can find the time, that time is a non-reality in my book.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just a matter of...
And that's, yes, it's a very easy excuse. It's us, but one of the easiest excuses you can give yourself, I don't have time.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people get away with it.
You have all of it.
Well, society says that all the time. It's like, well, do you have the time to do that? Or where do you find the time to do that? It's like, well, if you really want to, you'll find the time to do it.
Yes.
And if you want something done, you usually ask a very busy person. Why? Because they've learned how to manipulate time, or at least to use it the most effective way possible, where someone who's
right.
lazy or doesn't really do much, they'll never get it done. You're like, why can't you do this? It's like, why can't you cut the lawn? Well, I don't have the time. You're like, you're home all day. Every day.
Right. So. It's a matter of priority. What's important to you? What is it you want to achieve? You
yeah, know, and that's really the bottom line is what's important
yeah.
to you for yourself.
Right.
As a mother, I mean, I'm a mom too, and we always, as mothers, tend to, especially early on when our children are younger, tend to put the children and the spouse or whoever always in front of us. We're always the last one in line because we feel like that's our obligation and our duty as a mother, as a parent.
And your mom taught you that, and
yeah.
her mom taught you that,
been
and her
generations.
Mom taught you that, so it's been a generational
yeah.
thing.
I think it's awesome that people like you and, you know, our station, things that we're all doing, that there's a whole group of us that are making an effort to shift the thought pattern of those coming behind us so that we can
right.
really make some change of what the future of humanitarianism looks like.
Absolutely, I agree.
Where can people find your book, and how can people...
Do you have a website?
Find out what you're doing, what you're writing, and you know, are you on Facebook, et cetera? What do you have for addresses that people can stay in contact with you?
I have a website called www.guidancefromspirit.com. They have there's a blog out there that I post on the blog. I have daily inspirations that I post out there. Information about my books is there, and the course that I'm teaching is on that site too. If anybody just goes to Amazon.com and types in my name, Tanya Jobson, they'll get the whole list of my books.
And we're also going to put a link for you on our website as well so that people can find you. I'm from Sarasota myself. I've lived there 36 years, so we have a large Sarasota following. So don't be surprised if you suddenly have some newcomers wanting to take your course with you, because I'm definitely going to recommend you to a lot of my people and fans in that neck of the woods.
Well, thank you very much.
Listen, it's been a real pleasure to have you on our show, and we'd love to have you come back again. Are you working on any projects now, or are you thinking about doing something coming up in the future?
Am I doing what?
Are you working on any, like, are you working on a new book, or are you thinking about something for the next chapter for yourself?
Yes, I've given myself a goal of one book a month for this year. So that, I didn't realize what a goal that was.
Yeah.
Would be.
That's ambitious.
That's really ambitious, but you know what? All for it. That's awesome.
So that's pretty much a lot of my energy. I'm in the process of selling my townhouse and moving, so I'm not really going to do anything super major.
Mm-hmm.
I am working on a higher vibrational relationship.
Nice.
To come out soon. And then I might turn my hand to fiction.
Wow. Okay.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Well, listen, keep in touch with us and let us know when you've got things coming out. We'd love to keep our listening audience informed as to what you're doing. And, you know, we always love to showcase people who are in this like-minded realm and trying to change the way the world views itself. So it's absolutely a pleasure, Tanya, to have you join us on our show. And definitely keep in touch with us and let us know what's happening.
Thank you so much for having me. It was great.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you again, and thanks so much.
Gilman Amps, we create the tone in your head. Custom-built guitar and bass tube amplifiers.
Hey, everybody. This is David Gilman from Gilman Amps. If you need any repairs, modifications, or restorations of your vintage or modern tube equipment, as well as custom builds, I'd love to hear from you.
For more information, check out their website, GilmanAmps.com, and Facebook.com/GilmanAmps. We create the tone in your head. So listen up. If you're on the market for a graphic designer, you know, someone who can create logos, websites, etc., along with radio ads and video, well, there's no need to look any further than ST Productions. It's your one-stop shop for all your graphic, audio, and video needs. ST Productions will get it done while saving you money and having fun. So keep them in mind, ST Productions, an audio-video graphic design service. So that was Tanya, and we really appreciate her coming on the air and talking to us all about her books. I find that stuff very fascinating. Every week what we'd like to do on the show here is we'd like to dedicate a song to the guest that we have. So this week I've chosen a song that I wrote called Breaking All the Rules. Saint Tone with Breaking All the Rules. You can find that track at www.sainttone.com. That's SAINTTONE.com.
And you can find that and a whole bunch of other really positive and inspirational and fun, upbeat, great summer songs. Getting ready for the beach here, people. Spring has sprung. It's May. And fill the rest of your next few months with some positive attitude and some great music and listen to some Saint Tone.
That is all we have for this week. We will see you next week. We hope you have a great one.
We have a really awesome show next week, too. You won't want to miss it. We are actually going to do an interview with Tony Saint Tone about his many years of the music industry and some of the really cool opportunities that he's had to do. And come back and check us out. I'll be returning from Hong Kong and Beijing and tell you all about that as well.
Mm-hmm. Can't
Peace
wait
out.
To hear about that. That's going to be fun. All right. Have a great week.
Bye-bye.
Humanitarian Radio. Shouting out some good news for your soul.